أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال موسى لفتاه لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين أو أمضي حقبا فلما بلغا مجمع بينهما نسيا حوتهما فاتخذ سبيله في البحر سربا صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, we had been discussing some important incidents and the lessons that we derive thereof from certain incidents of Surah Kahf. Thus far we have completed two important incidents, namely the first one, the Ashabul Kahf, the youngsters, the youth, who sought refuge in a cave when they escaped from the tyrant ruler who was compelling them to commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah had strengthened the iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them steadfast. They protected the iman, and they sought refuge in the cave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them sleep there for a period of 309 years, until they met with a new king, who was a pious king. And they had displayed the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would raise us after mort, resurrection. We discuss various incidents and lessons that one would derive from there. And also we discussed yesterday the story of the person who had two gardens. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with plentiful, but it was his pride, his arrogance, that led him to believe that there is no such a thing as Qiyamah, and his fruit and his produce won't be destroyed. And he looked down and he frowned upon the poorer person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed his condition, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed all his belongings. And we discuss various lessons that we derive from there. In today's incident is a very famous incident of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu salam and Khadir alayhi salatu salam. Khadir or Khidr. And this narration appears in Bukhari Sharif, where Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu salam stood one day giving a lecture, a sermon to his people, the Bani Israel. Then he was asked that, Ayyun nasi a'lam, from all the people, who is the most knowledgeable? Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu salam was of course the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very great Nabi, Kalimullah. So he replied that he was the most knowledgeable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like the fact that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu salam attributed himself being the most knowledgeable. He should have attributed that quality to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. That the more closer the person is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even for a small error or a small mistake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebukes them immediately, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings them back, or islah takes place. And it is a lesson for all of us. You and I commit so many things like this daily, we don't even take heed of it. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was a very great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to return the quality of knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fa'ataballahu azza wa jalla alayhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebuked him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi to him that إِنَّ لِي عَبْدًا بِمَجْمَعِ الْبَحْرَيْنِ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ مِنْكَ. Allah said, there's another person who is found at the meeting of two oceans. He has got more knowledge than you have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show him the fact that above every knowledgeable person is somebody else more knowledgeable, and he should have attributed the quality of ilm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to himself, that I am the most knowledgeable person. Obviously in his own right he was correct, because from the Bani Israel, the people present there, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was the most knowledgeable. But even in that case, for a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala wanted him to attribute the quality of ilm to Allah Rabbul Izzah. So Allah ta'ala shows him now in this world, a very strange incident takes place. And he is told to meet this mysterious person at the meeting of two oceans, Majma'ul Bahrain. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu salam, immediately when he hears that somebody else is more knowledgeable than myself, the desire that he had within him to learn and acquire knowledge from somebody who had more knowledge than him came into him immediately. And therefore he asked Allah, where could I go? Where could I meet this person? And Allah Ta'ala tells him to go, and there are two oceans where they meet. He says, Ya Rabbi, فَكَيْفَ لِي بِهِ قَالَ تَأْخُذْ حُوتًا فَتَجْعَلُهُ فِي مِكْتَلْ فَحَيْثُمَا فَقَدْتَ الْحُوتَ فَهُوَ ثَمَّ. Carry with you a fish in a basket, and where the fish suddenly disappears, that is the place where you will meet him. This is a strange plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah chose that he must carry a basket. Allah Ta'ala could have just told him straight, there's a certain place, that's the address, you meet him and you can acquire knowledge from him or whatever. Allah once Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu salam to go through a tedious journey. Ulama explain, I'll just mention this point, this is one lesson that we learn. If a person wants to seek knowledge of deen, then he has to undertake great sacrifice. Not just by a press of a button, and everything comes, pops on the screen, and that's your knowledge. Never. There is such a thing as sacrifice, and we find, like in the nights we have been hearing about Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, Imam Muslim rahmatullahi, what great sacrifices they made to acquire knowledge. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in undertook great long journeys. One Sahabi of Rasulullah s.a.w. left Madinah Munawwara. He went very far. It was a few days journey. And he goes to another Sahabi. He goes there at that such a time when that Sahabi was resting. So he waited outside his house until that Sahabi woke up. And when he came out, he sees this Sahabi sitting there. What brings you here? He says, did you hear a certain hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He says, yes, I'd like to hear it from you. The moment he gave him the hadith, assalamu alaikum, jazakallah, and he returned. Just for one hadith. When we have qadr, value for ilm deen, then we will make those sacrifices. When we don't have that value for the knowledge of deen, and this knowledge of deen is known as al-ilmu nafi', beneficial knowledge. What is beneficial knowledge? That knowledge that will draw us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam immediately said, I want to meet this person. Allah says, okay, you take a basket with the fish, and where the fish comes out of the basket, it disappears. Imagine a fish that is not living, it's dead, it's already cooked, it's grilled. So he takes his attendant with him, Yusha. Now, here also ulama say that there is no problem having a khadim, an attendant, to accompany you on a journey. So he goes, فَانْتَلَقَ مُوسَى وَمَعَهُ فَتَى وَمَعَهُ فَتَاهُ يُوشَعْ بِنْ نُونَ حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَيَا الصَّخْرَ وَضَعَ رُؤُوسَهُمَا فَنَامَ وَاضْطَرَبَ الْحُوتِ. So in brief, this incident mentioned in the hadith, that they traveled. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was tired, so he rested, and suddenly this fish comes out of this basket and goes into the ocean. And the manner in which it jumped into the ocean, it made a very beautiful, like a tunnel, and it went through, it glided into this water, which would catch any person's attention. And Yusha happened to see that. It was a very marvelous incident. But by the time Musa alayhi salam woke up, Yusha forgot to tell him about what he had seen. Again, this is the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this fish goes into the sea, and when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam awakens, they continue the journey. فَانْتَلَقَ بَقِيَّةَ يَوْمِهِمَا. The remaining of the day, they continue. And then the night. حَتَّى إِذَا كَانَ مِنَ الْغَدْ. Until the next morning. That is when suddenly Musa alayhi salatu wasalam felt hungry. So he tells his attendant, where's the fish? Let's eat, because I'm quite tired now. And then when he looks for the fish, he realizes that the fish had come out of the basket. So he tells Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that I had seen that fish coming out, and it made a beautiful tunnel, and it glided into the water, into the ocean. So he says, where is the place? He said, we passed it long time ago. So they go back, they follow the traces. Imagine they pass all the distance and now they have to go back. See, for you, when you're acquiring knowledge, there are great sacrifices the person has to make. So they go back. And they come to the spot where they see a person, where the two oceans meet. They found a person lying down and he was covered with a shawl. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu salam makes salam to him. And that person was Khadir. He says, "Wa anna bi ardika as-salam." He says, "Where's salam in this land, this very distant alien land? There's no salam in this place. Nonetheless, who are you?" He says, "I'm Musa." He says, "Musa of Bani Israel?" He says, "Yes." So then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam says, "I came to you so that you may teach me something." His quest for knowledge. And now he comes and he makes this proposal to him. قَالَ إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ الصَّبْرِ Khadir says, "You won't be able to bear being with me. You won't have the patience. You won't have the patience to be with me." So Sayyidina Musa says, "Satajiduni insha'Allah sabira." Insha'Allah, you will find me to be patient. And وَلَا أَعْصِي لَكَ أَمْرَ I will never go against you. I will never disobey you. So Khadir agrees. So we find that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu salam, he displays humility. In fact, the Quran says, "Hal attabi'uka ala an tu'allimani mimma 'allimta rushda." He asks for permission. "Can I please join you and follow you?" The word "hal attabi'uka." The student has to follow the ustad. The ustad has the knowledge. You have to humble yourself and go to the alim. You have to go to the scholar. You have to go to the teacher, and you have to humble yourself. You have to make that request. عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي So that you may teach me. In other words, I am ignorant. You have the knowledge. And what do I want? What I'm seeking? Rushda. I'm seeking righteousness. I'm seeking the right path. I'm seeking knowledge that Allah has endowed you with. I don't have that knowledge. So he shows us humility. And so Sayyidina Khadir alayhi salatu salam agrees. And he makes a condition that, "See, if you're going to ask me unnecessary, don't ask me any questions until I explain to you if I need to explain to you anything." Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam agrees. And he tells Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, "Listen here, ya Musa, inni ala ilmin min ilmillah la ta'lamuhu." That I have got knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you don't know. Allamanihi, Allah has endowed me. Now we talk about knowledge. One is kasbi. Kasbi, when you go to an ustad, you seek knowledge, you sit in front of the ustad, you have your kitabs, you learn from him, you acquire, you memorize, you revise, and you prepare, and you read the sabak to the ustad. That is, you earn that knowledge. It's called kasbi. But it's another knowledge, which is called wahbi. That is the knowledge that comes direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, direct into your heart, without you having to go and formally study. Allah has endowed many of His special servants with that knowledge. It's called ilm wahbi. So Sayyidina Khadir alayhi salatu salam agrees, and now Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, of course Yusha is the attendant, also joins them on this journey. فَانْطَلَقَا يَمْشِيَانِ عَلَى السَّاحِلِ They're walking on the coast, along the coast. فَمَرَّتْ سَفِينَةٌ There's a boat that's going past. فَكَلَّمُوهُمْ They speak to the owners of the boat. The owners of the boat, according to tafsir, they were very poor people. They hardly had any means. This was the only means of survival. And they would transport people on their ferry and they would take a fee. So they spoke to him. They spoke to these people that they must transport them. They recognized Khadir alayhi salatu salam. So they transported them without any charge, for free. As they are going, suddenly, Khadir alayhi salatu salam begins to scuttle the ship. He removes some planks of this boat. He is damaging this ferry. A very strange thing happening. These people are taking them for free. You should honor them. You should make sure you don't damage the boat. Somebody lends you his car for free, and then now you start damaging the car. Obviously it will anger the person. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam looks at this. فَقَلْ لَهُ مُوسَى قَوْمٌ قَدْ حَمَلُونَ بِغِيرِ نَوْلٍ عَمِدْتَ إِلَىٰ سَفِينَةٍ فَخَرَقْتَهَا These people took us for free. And now you are damaging the boat. What is wrong? لِتُغْرِقَ أَهْلَىٰ You want them to drown?
لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا إِمْرًا. You've done a very strange thing. Rasulullah doesn't mention, this was the first mistakes of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. First slip he made, he forgot. As that is happening, وَجَاءَ عُصْفُورٌ فَوَقَعَ عَلَى حَرْفِ السَّفِينَةِ فَنَقَرَ فِي الْبَحْرِ نَقْرَةِ. A sparrow comes on the deck of this ferry, sitting, is perched, and suddenly it puts, places its beak into the ocean. And it removes its beak. Sayyidina Khadir tells Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is something for all of us to understand and listen. He says, مَا عِلْمِي وَعِلْمُكَ مِنْ عِلْمِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِلَّا مِثْلُ مَا نَقَصَ هَذَا الْعُصْفُورِ مِنْ هَذَا الْبَحْرِ. Sayyidina Khadir is saying, my knowledge. Now imagine that knowledge that Allah bestowed him with, special knowledge, my knowledge. And O Musa, your knowledge, he's the Nabi of Allah, great knowledge, put together in comparison to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like that amount that this bird has decreased from this vast ocean. How much of water has the bird taken out? Nothing. In other words, my knowledge and your knowledge and everybody's knowledge put together is nothing compared to the limitless knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout the Quran, Alim, Allamul Ghuyub, Allah is Alim, all knowing. And nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah even has knowledge of the leaves that are being shed from the tree. Inna Allah indahu ilmu sa'ah. The knowledge of Qiyamah, the exact date, time, month, everything, details of Qiyamah, its occurrence, only Allah knows. Rain that falls, where it will fall, how much rain will fall, for how long it will fall, that knowledge only Allah has. The child in the womb of the mother, perhaps with scans, the doctor may be able to tell you it's a boy or a girl. Can the doctor tell you what color the eyes will be? How much of hair will be on that body? What lifespan the child has? What rosy this child, what sustenance this child is bringing to the world? How long will this child live? What will be the health condition of this child? Whether this child will be a believer or disbeliever? That knowledge is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaqiyun aw sa'id. How much a man will earn the next day? Only Allah knows. You have high aspirations, hopes, I'm going to sail tomorrow. And you have a certain target. And suddenly you don't reach that target. Sometimes people say business is very bad. And you hardly have any hopes that I'll do anything. The weather is not good, it's raining, it's pouring. Hardly anybody is coming to town. And suddenly that day Allah gives you even more business than normal days. Allah knows exactly how much each person will earn. Where a person will die, only Allah knows best. The man is sitting here, suddenly he goes out somewhere, his mort is there. He was here yesterday with us, he traveled overseas, he passed away there. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in the books that he's sitting, Allah had given him power of jinnat and wind, and he would travel very, very easily. So a person comes and is whispering to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, requesting something. Allah at that moment commands Malakul Maut, take this man's ruh, soul, certain place, certain country, far away. Malakul Maut is surprised. This man is sitting here by Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, I must take his, in any case, Allah's command. So he goes there. This man had come to ask Sulaiman alayhi salam, he had some work to go to that same country, same place, same town. He needed some transport. Sulaiman alayhi salam said, no problem. He's transported there and Malakul Maut is waiting for him and his ruh is taken away. The knowledge of Allah is vast. So Sayyidina Khadir is teaching Sayyidina Musa a certain lesson that our knowledge is nothing compared to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should have attributed the quality, the sifat of ilm to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Nonetheless, he warns him that, see, you're already asking questions. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam apologizes and they continue. And as they're coming, Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam sees a young boy. on the shore. This child is playing with other children. He goes there and he strangles this little child. Now obviously anybody will see, what is happening? Now this is where we cannot understand with our little brains and knowledge and intelligence the hikmat, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many things happens in this world and outwardly it seems that how come Allah is doing this and He is doing that? We could be very careful. People make statements like, where's Allah then? The wars are taking place in the world and so many masoom children are being killed and so many women are being raped and so how is all this possible? Why isn't Allah doing it? Ma'azal. Allah has got hikmat, wisdom that all of us put together with all the most intelligent people in the world, we will never understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Outwardly it seems that Sayyidina Khadir is being cruel. But there's a wisdom. And he explained the wisdom later on. So then, Sayyidina Musa sees this. Okay, the ship, the ferry, probably they can repair it and it can be saved. But this, the child is gone. أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُكْرًا. It is a very, very wrong thing. He objects to this. Sayyidina Khadir says, أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. Didn't I tell you won't have patience with me? You asked, you requested to be my student. I warned you not to ask me anything. Now you're already objecting to whatever I'm doing. Now you've reached all excuses. No more excuses after this. In any case, Sayyidina Musa agrees and they can continue. They come to a village. حتى إذا أتى أهل قرية. They were very hungry. Istat'ama, they went to each home there, asking for food, asking to be entertained. All those people in the town were very stingy. فَأَبَوْا أَيُضَيِّفُمَا. They all refused to give them any food. Now obviously you feel disheartened. Not a single home could give us anything to eat. But as they're leaving this town, there is a wall that was surrounding this town and protecting this town. And this wall was collapsing. Sayyidina Khadir immediately goes فَأَقَامَ. He erects this wall. He saves it from collapsing. Musa is boggled. That these people didn't look after us. They didn't have the at least to even feed us. They didn't have the kindness to feed us. And now you being kind to them? This was the end now. Sayyidina Khadir tells him now, هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكَ. Now this is the end. This is, we're going to part now. You go your way, I go my way. I told you, you will not be able to have sabr. Rasulullah SAW mentioned, Allah have mercy on Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. If only he had patience, we would have come to know so many more wisdoms of Allah Ta'ala in matters of that transpires in this world. Nonetheless, Sayyidina Khadir explains to him what had transpired. He says that boat, that ferry belonged to the very poor people. This was the only means of livelihood they had. And it was going past a tyrant ruler. And any nice, good-looking ferry that goes past, he would usurp it. He would steal this ferry. This was the only means of livelihood. So I damage it a bit, so that it doesn't catch the eye of the king, and it will just pass him. According to some tafsir, Sayyidina Khadir then repaired the ship for them. Now that outwardly Musa did not have the knowledge of. He could not understand why Sayyidina Khadir was actually damaging that boat. As far as the child was concerned, the child, as it would have grown, Allah had told Hazrat Khadir to do this, to kill this child. This child had very good parents, very pious parents, very dutiful to Allah Rabbul Izzat. But this child, if he had, as it was going to grow, it was going to be very disobedient and rebellious. And it would be an eyesore to the parent. In fact, it would be a great musibah to those parents. And it will not just harm them as far as the world is concerned. This child would actually make those parents lose their iman and get jahannam. And therefore Allah wanted to protect those parents, and Allah Ta'ala
took away the life of this child. Finish. Now that any person could would not have known. Allah Ta'ala informed Hazrat Khadir, this was the story of this was the case in this particular child. And those people who refused to entertain them, and this world was collapsing, under this world was a treasure. This treasure belonged to orphans, to yatim, children in this town. It was buried there by their father. Their father was extremely pious. He was an Allah wala. And he was worried that one day my yatim children will grow. There will be nobody to look after them. He had some wealth and he wished to keep that wealth in a treasure, and under this wall he had buried it. If this wall collapsed, the treasure would have become manifest and the people would have taken the treasure away. So Sayyidina Khadir protected the treasure from becoming exposed to the people of the town. He saved it so that the yatim children, as they grow, they will find out and they will gain from the treasure. So this was the hikmat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had, and this was the journey of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Sayyidina Khadir. Now just a few basic lessons, some of them we have already discussed. The very first thing, remember the first story I said about the sleep, the youth who sought refuge. What was the test there? The test there was the test on aqidah, iman. When a person is tested on his iman to see whether he is going to be steadfast on iman or he's going to give up. Allah showed us, when your iman is tested, then don't become overwhelmed by your surroundings. Like I mentioned the other day, a young girl has donned hijab. Now suddenly she comes into a varsity environment. Oh, she is living in such a town now where the people are not wearing hijab. They look down upon somebody wearing hijab. She feels uneasy. So what does she do? To please them and to move with society, she removes that scarf, she removes the hijab. A boy has grown his beard, his barigh. He wants to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Suddenly he gets a job, and in that firm, everybody else is clean-shaven, they are non-Muslims there. So he feels uncomfortable, which he should not be feeling, and he shaves his beard. So these are simple examples that comes to our life, that we experience. Besides that, even iman, sometimes you would, some people, and we feel, ma'adallah, embarrassed about our deen. We should never feel embarrassed. When it is time for salah, then perform your salah wherever you are. Of course, you don't obstruct any person. Don't feel what the people will say. Never mind, I'll make it a qada. This is not what Allah Ta'ala wants from us. We should be proud of our deen. Our deen has got some noor in it. It attracts the people towards it. We might not be able to see it, but believe me, the non-Muslims hear the adhan, they are affected. They see people performing salah, something draws them to that. So this is the test, the trial of iman. Then yesterday's story about the person who had the two gardens, that was the trial of wealth. Wealth should not be abused. Wealth should not make a person become proud and arrogant and look down upon others. And in today's story, the trial of knowledge. Knowledge can also make a person become arrogant. It can also cause a person to be deceived, and he feels that I am the most learned person. There's nobody else like me. I'm the best mufti, I'm the best alim, I'm the best molana. And therefore one has to be very, very cautious. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ Above every knowledgeable person, there's somebody who's got more knowledge. Above him, there's somebody who's got more knowledge. Above that person, somebody who's got more knowledge. Until you reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, we learn in this incident, the importance of acquiring knowledge. The sacrifices one has to undergo to acquire knowledge. He has to undergo some sacrifice, he has to undertake a journey. Then, a person, no matter how learned he may be, he should never feel that now I have completed studying, and there's nothing else for me to learn. Remember the story of the sparrow, or the bird? The knowledge of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the knowledge of Khadir put together as compared to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing, is negligible. So there's so much more to learn. And a person should not feel it below his dignity to learn from somebody else who may have lesser knowledge than him. How often a student has more knowledge than the ustad sometimes.
a question arises and the ustad does not know the answer and some student knows the answer. So the ustad is expected to acquire that knowledge from that student. And he should not feel proud of himself or below his dignity to seek knowledge from his own student. No. He should have humility in him. And Sayyidina Muslim had this humility. And therefore he acquired this knowledge from Sayyidina Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam. And then the adab, the etiquettes. هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِ مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. In a very kind, a polite way, he asked, he requested, could I join you? Could I follow you? So that you may teach me. This is the jazba we should have. This is the spirit. If you want to increase your knowledge, then you have to come sit front of an ustad and ask him to teach you, and that is how you will increase in knowledge. Very important is an usul, a principle, that sometime one has to undergo a minor suffering to save himself from a major catastrophe. Darar. Darar means nuqsan. Like in this case of the boat, the ferry. It experienced some nuqsan. Those people, the owners, experienced some type of harm because the boat was scuttled. The planks were removed. The boat was damaged. But what happened? It saved the entire boat from becoming usurped by somebody else. So sometimes a person will have some dharar, some nuqsan, but the benefit is it is saving you something else more serious. Also very important is tarbiyat of our children. Tarbiyat of our children. From childhood, from the time the child is in the womb of the mother, it is imperative that already you start making the tarbiyat. If the mother is going to listen to music, if she is going to watch pornographic material, then according to even medical science today, I've read some books, where the child that is still in the womb of the mother is affected by all what she is doing. You find many times a mother is depressed. Because of her depression, entire pregnancy, that also has an effect on the child. That mother who is making wudu all the time, and reading her salah and reading abundant Quran, you will find that has a good effect on the child. Believe me, sometimes the child becomes a hafiz of the Quran. Already. So the tarbiyat of the child begins long before. Hazrat Mawlana Umar Jee Sahab Rahmatullah used to give an example. And he says, a husband and wife, they're very good people, very pious, and they made up their mind and decided that we're never going to speak a lie and we're never going to eat anything haram. Never will allow a morsel of food into our system. And they both kept to that. And the wife fell pregnant, she had a child, the child very good, mashallah, grew. And one day the neighbor complains that your child stole my child's toy. The parents said, impossible, because they knew the effects of halal. And the child won't do something wrong. But upon contemplating, the mother realized, when she was pregnant, and find many times a pregnant woman, she suddenly feels for certain things. So she was feeling for eating boar. And the neighbor had a boar tree. And she was feeling hard to ask them and inconvenience them. The branches of this boar tree was coming over the fence. She just took one or two boars without permission and she ate this. The effect of this was the child stole a toy of another child. So tarbiyat of our children. In tonight's tarawih we came across a very, very beautiful dua. I have discussed this dua previously. Rabbi awzi'ani. Oh Allah, give me the ability. An ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidi. Ya Allah, give me the ability to make shukr of the bounties you have bestowed upon my parents and me. Subhanallah, you are making dua for your parents. Awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidi. In other words, you are making shukr to Allah on behalf of your parents also. Our parents, ihsan upon us. The kindness, the favors, we cannot even count them. The pain our mother went through when she was pregnant, I discussed the other day. Our fathers, what they have done for us. So the effort our parent makes, so this the bounties that our parents are enjoying, you are making shukr to Allah on behalf of the parents, and also you're making shukr, Ya Allah, for the ni'mat you have given me. Then, وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. Allah, give me the tawfiq and ability to do good deeds, righteous deeds that will please you. Give me the ability to do good, pious deeds that will make you happy. وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي وَاللَّهِ reform, rectify, correct for me my progeny, my children. Let them become a coolness of my eyes. When I rise in, at night and I'm going to the toilet or going to the bathroom, and as I pass my child's room, I see my child engaged in tahajjud salah. I see my child reading Quran. What happiness it brings to a parent. Imagine the parent is going past, in the corner of the room, the child is sniffing drugs or taking drugs, popping drugs. So it is our duty. Make a lot of dua for our children. Keep them in those good environments. There is no other way out. There is no magical wazifa that somebody can read and suddenly the child who was an addict and suddenly he becomes cured. Yes, if Allah wishes, it happens. All this is our duty. As people of the society, leaders of society, we have professional people. And believe me, in today's time, from what I can see, Allah forgive us, Allah help us, we're not looking down upon any person. We require to put our efforts together. Our efforts are very disunited. I'm mentioning this all the time. I'm guilty myself, Allah forgive us, Allah give us the strength. We need to pool our efforts. Doctors, teachers, lawyers, businessmen, every person, ordinary man, ulama, scholars, and have some great fikr for our youth, our generation. So many, they make a mistake. And what happens next? They become such addicts. The cocaine is in the system. It's very difficult just to come out again. They go under a period of denial. Their parent wants to hush things. Obviously it's embarrassing. Allah protect us, or protect our children, our progeny. It's not an easy thing. But we're not understanding what is happening. The child has now gone into bad company. His life is being affected. He gets married, he's spoiling another woman's life. He gets children, those children, their life is spoiled. All we need to do is ensure that we save our children from going towards those things. How often do we come to the masjid without our baligh sons? He's busy on the computer, azan is called out, we, mashallah, have to make it, and it's good, we have to be present for salah. But we don't even encourage our youngsters. I mentioned before the last 10 days, please brothers, overlook the errors of our youngsters. Sometimes they come to the masjid, they may do something wrong. Don't chase them away. Talk to them nicely, politely. Don't forget the days when you were young. We're not condoning the wrongs a person does in the masjid. Of course, it's adab of a masjid, the etiquettes. But we have become blind to this reality. We are losing our youth. We're actually losing our youth. The father feels, no, I can't tell him anything. How many of our young daughters, I hope they are listening. We are well aware of these things, all not fairy tales, genuine information. When Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that time, how many years ago? 7 years ago? Or even longer? That so many of our people are in the gambling dens, are in the rave clubs and so. I should think at that time, maybe it's an exaggerated figure. Maybe somebody misinformed Hazrat Maulana. Believe me, things are serious. Very serious. How many, a doctor will tell you, I see so many patients coming every day, so many youngsters. They all are in a serious problem because all have become addicts. And if this problem is not solved, it becomes worse and worse and worse. You want to see your masajid becoming empty after you leave this world in a few years' time? All the efforts of our forefathers, what did they do when they came? When they came from overseas, the very first thing our forefathers did, they built a masjid and a madrasa. May Allah give them the highest of stages in the akhirat. Our youth who are born today have not seen the sacrifices of our grandparents and great-grandparents. They haven't seen anything. They see, mashallah, beautiful masjid with aircon. They couldn't dream of those things before. Ask our grandparents if they're alive, or even our parents might know. On one table, the entire family is eating. The father hardly earned anything, but there was so much of barakah. All the children are all eating, the entire family. And they assumed authority. They had respect, they commanded the respect. If the nephew did something wrong, the uncle could reprimand him. Today you reprimand, suddenly there's a fight. Don't worry about my son, worry about your own child. There was true hijab that time. My grandmother used to say that when her mother was at home and her father was at work, if the father's brother came to visit him and he would ask, where is he? From inside, she won't even open the door. She would say, nah, he's gone to the shop, go there. What happens today? So these are things we are forgetting. This is our society. We can talk about current affairs and world affairs and everything. Let us make Islam for our own selves, our own lives, our own children. Your child is also my child. We all are one. And if we don't worry about what's happening, we can open another 1,000 rehabs, believe me. It's not going to solve the problem. Yes, alhamdulillah, they're making great effort, but that's not going to solve the problem. We have to see what the root cause is. So many times it's because the husband and wife are fighting all the time. It's a divorce case. That poor child lacks attention. The child lacks love. The child is tired of coming home and the father and mother are fighting all the time. So what does he do? He gets out of that environment. And what he's going to do, he's going to go with friends. He's going to join bad company. And just to cool himself, he's going to try something, a substance. And suddenly he enjoys taking it. It gave him some type of ecstasy. And then it pulls him more and more and more and more. I met one brother once. Allah Ta'ala give him shifa, inshallah. He related his story. He said, I got into bad company. I started taking drugs. He said, Morana, I lost my entire family. He was staying far away and he shifted and he came to Durban and he says, I should live in the beachfront with just a cardboard. He says, I lost my iman, everything. There was no Allah in my life, nothing. This was my condition. I finally decided to take my life. So he said, I actually took a chair and I tied a rope around my neck and I was waiting to take my life and commit suicide. And suddenly from nowhere, Allah Ta'ala sent some person who saw him doing this and managed to persuade him not to take away his life and commit suicide. And then he spoke to him and finally got into a rehab and I met him there. So these things, Allah Ta'ala helps a person sometimes. Remember one thing. No matter what the problem is, I mentioned the other night, it seemed like there's a dead end. There is no way out for me. Allah has got a way out for you. But you have to take the initiative. You have to surrender and submit. You have to agree. You have to confess that I have got a problem. Please help me. When you are genuine and you will confess and you seek the right solution, then Allah will provide the solution. Long as you are sincere. And that is why we find our mashayikh, ulama, always talking about the love of Allah, love of Allah, love of Allah. May Allah grant all of us His true love. When a person has the love of Allah, and that is dominant in his heart, Allah protects him from all these other avenues. When he is afflicted with calamity, then again, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't lose hope. If he has got prosperity, then he doesn't become transgressing or breaking the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then to him, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I digress quite a bit, but this was important. Most of you are aware. But what are we doing? We need to sit with our children. Sit and talk to them. When last did you have a good conversation with your daughter or your son? Think, when last did I speak to my son in a nice way? Everybody comes home now. Everybody is busy. We just came back from Umrah. Allah forgive me, forgive everybody. We're not looking down on any person, but it seems that the whole world now, including ourselves, with a cell phone, everybody is busy. We're doing some tasbih, I don't know. Oh, all the time. Before namaz, believe me, I'm in the masjid. Some very close person mentioned to me that his wife was in the haram now. So there's another lady, and the cell phone was ringing all musical tones, and it was time for salah, it was tarawih. So in any case, she took the phone, and then she put it in front of her. And she continued her salah, or she put she didn't answer the call, and she put the phone in front of her. And as the salah began, she was busy in her salah, there was a video call. So with her toe, she swiped the screen to switch it off. In the salah. I've seen people next to me taking out the phone and putting it off and looking at the name and then putting it. Where is your khushu and khudu of salah? Imagine that sahabi we mentioned so many times. He's engaged in tahajjud salah. His companion is resting next to him. The enemy shoots 1, 2, 3 arrows. He's so engrossed in reciting Suratul Kahf. The blood is oozing from his body. He lunges forward, his friends awakens. Hey, what has happened? Why didn't you stop? Why didn't you break your namaz? He says, I began such a surah, ma ahbabtu an aqta'aha. I didn't desire to break and stop and terminate that surah. I was enjoying that surah. It's mentioned about Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, and he's wounded. They couldn't remove that spear or the arrow from his leg. Only until he started salah. That's the time they were able to remove that arrow. I mentioned another incident, but brothers, don't do this. The sahabi, that was his kafiyat, his jazbah, his iman, his level, he gets married, it's his first night. To his wife, just give me a few minutes, just 2 rakat namaz. So it's after Isha, and she's waiting for him, she's dressed, and he says, Allahu Akbar, he's gone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, azan of fajr is gone, sounded. This was the, when sahaba, when we talk about the draw from Allah's mercy with salah. A sahabi comes home. He asks his wife, anything to eat? She says, nothing. Nothing. He says, no problem. He goes outside his house in the courtyard, engages in 2 rakat salah. She knows there's nothing in the home. The woman knows exactly what they've got, what they haven't got. Despite all that, she has such yaqeen in Allah, that Allah is the provider. She knows my husband is begging Allah. She goes to the mill. They should have that hand mill where they should grind the grain. And she goes to the oven. Allah subhanahu prepares, brings for them, provides for them bread and some food. From nothing. Husband finishes salah, he comes back, he knows, I read 2 rakat namaz, Allah's promise, I will definitely get something. He says, anything king? There's it, food is there. There are hundreds of examples in the life of Sahaba, the pious friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We might not experience these things because of our weakness. But again, we have to have this yaqeen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at home. Speak to our children about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's greatness. We have jamaats going out. Send your children, ourselves also go in the jamaat 3 days. And see, when you go for those 3 days, your whole life changes. Why? Because now you're actually saying, normally you don't even say that Allah provides. What happens? I'm going to work. I have to get money. I have to. Yes, those are all asbab means. But the real provider is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The protector is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nourisher, cherisher is Allah. He is your guardian. So when you change your environment from the normal routine, that is when you begin to have yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tarbiyat of our children. Wa aslihni fi dhurriyati. You know, Sayyidina Abbas, I mentioned in one of the talks recently, Sayyidina Abbas was the uncle of Rasulullah, extremely beloved to Rasulullah. In age, he was elder than Rasulullah, in age. Somebody asked him, Anta akbar am Rasulullah? Are you bigger or Rasulullah? So he said, Ana in Arabic, Ana asannu minhu wa huwa akbaru minhu. He is greater than me, I'm just elder than him. In age, that's all. Rasulullah called Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu one day, and he made a dua for him. For him, and he said, Allahumma ihfazhu fi awladihi. Ya Allah, protect him regarding his progeny, his sons, his children. In other words, let their lives not be destroyed in your disobedience, and let it not be happen that they lose their iman and their deen is suffering. Ya Allah, you protect them. All his sons went out in the path of Allah and they are buried in different parts of the world. And then we learn sabr, the lesson of sabr. Throughout, Sayyidina Musa said, you'll find I will have sabr. I will, inshallah, I'll have sabr. But when we see things happening sometimes, then we lose that sabr. In the path of knowledge, in the path when you are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not an overnight thing. Yes, there were many people in this world, overnight they became walis of Allah. Overnight. That is a decision of Allah. But the normal system, we have to make an effort. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُرًا. We have to make a mujahada. We have to go through difficulties. There will be temptations. We have to restrain ourselves. That very beautiful woman comes in front of us. And now, every opportunity to see her and cast a lustful glance. But just before that, you made up your mind, I am not going to cast any more lustful glances. Ramadan went so well, I managed. Now I'm not going to do it anymore. And suddenly the pretty woman from far, you saw coming. So now you see, okay, just one more time and after that I'll stop it again. But because you were determined first, you were determined, you were genuine, you made sincere tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to show you His kindness. Suddenly a huge bus comes in front of you. And now you're waiting for the bus driver to move. It's taking so long. And then by the time he moves, that woman is gone. Allah made a plan for you. Allah made a plan for you. Allah wanted to protect you from sin. Allah knows that sin is going to be harmful to you. This is my banda. He has made sincere tawbah. He's going to make a mistake again. So Allah makes a plan for you. So there is an effort. We have to make an effort. We have pride in us. And there are so many remedies for the pride. We have hasad. You're envious of your neighbor or your friend or your cousin, whoever it may be. And you can't take that he's being so prosperous and he's got everything and going so well for him. There are remedies for all this. And where are we going to get the remedies? We have to go to the scholars, the ulama, and sit with them. Sometimes we have certain spiritual diseases. Believe me, we don't even know we are suffering those diseases. Physical disease, you go to a doctor, he'll tell you, you didn't know you had sugar. And suddenly say, you got sugar. You didn't know that one artery was blocked. Allah protect us, give us afiyat and sihat. And he said, you get a shock. But doc, I'm moving, I'm jogging every day. Just like that, we have spiritual diseases. And by means of our action and the way we speak and the way we carry on, that alim, he'll be able to detect that this man has got a little bit of vanity in him. Or he's got hasad, or he's got anger in him. Or he is overwhelmed by his shahwat, his carnal desires. And therefore, there's the remedy, and now we have to apply that remedy. You can go to all the best specialists in the world, they can give you the best medication, and you can keep all those tablets and look at it every day. And take each one and read the wazifa, try and see what name it is, and tell this 3 times a day and 4 times a day. But as long as you don't take it, you can never get cured. And you go back to the doc, I don't know what's happening, man, I'm still the same. You tell me, oh, how's this thing you took? I didn't take it. So how are you going to get cured? Exactly like that. For spiritual and the spiritual diseases are serious. It affects our iman. It affects our fate in the akhirat. May Allah give us hidayat. May Allah make us understand. Of course, we learn the lesson of bukhal, kanjusi, stinginess. This entire town, not a single person gave anything to Musa and Khadir to eat. We should not be, alhamdulillah, we find our people in this country, Allah Ta'ala has given them plenty and they are very generous. And many of our mashayikh say it's because of the good nature of our people that they are always helping the poor, the weak and the needy. That is why Allah Ta'ala is saving us from azab. Allah always protect us from calamities. And then of course, if somebody does bad to you, don't do bad to him. Sayyidina Khadir showed us that wall was collapsing. Those people would have been destroyed. They didn't care for them, but still he protected them. So if somebody does bad to you and you can do good to him, then you must do good. This is the teachings of Islam. This is the teachings of Sharia. May Allah give me tawfiq, all of us tawfiq, to understand these beautiful lessons of Surah Kahf. And Allah make it help us to bring this into our life and pass on this message of deen throughout the four corners of the globe. And special again, a special request is, let us sit back and think and ponder how we can help our youth. How we can help our young boys, our young girls. They have made a mistake, many of them make a mistake, they're not feeling good about it. Many of them, they feel bad about it. They just need somebody to put their hand on their shoulder and just guide them a bit. One person told me, again, not trying to talk about myself, he said, I asked him, why are you looking at me? He said, I look at you, I got some hope. Believe me, I made dua for that youngster. I felt so good. Not proud of myself, I know how weak I am. But he looked up to some person who could give him some direction. That is what they are looking for. If our forefathers did not direct us, if they didn't tell us about Salat and Ramadan, we wouldn't have known about Ramadan. There have been countries in the world, believe me, if you go to Europe, even to some Arab countries. When the Arabs, when they meet us and they speak to us, when they come to our country, they can't understand so many people, Hufaz. They don't even understand Arabic. Believe me, they go crazy. So many of them can't even read the Quran. They can't recite the Quran. They don't know about Ramadan. Some countries, go to Albania. Alhamdulillah, now effort is being made. There was one, the very first Jamaat they went to Albania was known as the Salam Jamaat. All they could do is teach the people Assalamu Alaikum. They had lost even that. Allah is so kind. Allah has been so kind to us. Allah has been so kind to us. May Allah not snatch away this ni'mat. Therefore make shukr to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And let us not be judgmental upon any person and have disunity. Let us go forward in life. And inshallah we will see Allah's divine help coming. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Tonight is the 25th night again, and we mentioned so many times these odd nights. These are special, special, special moments. Allah wants to give us. We have to seek. 21st, 23rd is already gone. 25th is tonight already. We have 27th and 29th night. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us with Laylatul Qadr. Inshallah, let us sit. Brothers and sisters, we come into the masjid also. Dua, we have to beg like beggars. We have to really cry and beg and beg and beg. That is what Allah Ta'ala wants to see from us. I'm not going to repeat all the examples I gave in the past few nights. But in short, we have to show that we are in need. Come forward, inshallah. You said Durood Sharif. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا راحم المساكين ويا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حنان يا منان اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك المصطفى خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا همّا إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا رب العالمين يا لا يوى ومولاه يا لا يوى وآقاه You are our master, our protector, our guardian, my Allah. You are our sustainer, our cherisher, our nourisher, my Allah. You are our Khaliq. Ya Allah, you are our Allah. There is no other Allah besides you, my Allah. La ilaha illa anta. My Allah, you have been so kind to us, my Allah. You have given us countless of ni'mas, my Allah, and bounties. Ya Allah, we can't even enumerate those bounties, my Allah. Ya Allah, you have given us the air to breathe in, my Allah. You provided water for us and food and shelter and clothing and protection, my Allah. You actually gave us iman, my Allah. Ya Allah, you actually chose us and made us in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The last ummah to come with the first to enter Jannah. Ya Allah, how are we going to really make your shukr, my Allah? Ya Allah, hum kamzor hai, hum dhaif hai, ya Allah, hum muhtaj hai. We are beggars, my Allah. We are faqir. Allah, even in tonight's tarawih we heard that we are faqirs unto you. You are ghani and hamid. You are full of praise. My Allah, you are that loving Allah. The most kind Allah. The most beautiful Allah. The most tolerant Allah. Ya Allah, you are haleem and kareem, my Allah. Ya Allah, the month of Ramadan is coming to an end slowly, my Allah. Ya Allah, barely a few days are left now, my Allah. The days have passed, my Allah. Ya Allah, jo baqi hai, ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us all now the tawfiq of making sincere tawbah, my Allah. Ya Allah, sincere tawbah, tawbatan nasuha. Ya Allah, we are nadim, my Allah. Ya Allah, we are feeling ashamed and embarrassed and we regret committing all those filthy sins in our life, my Allah. Sins we committed with our eyes, with our ears, with our tongue. Ya Allah, with our limbs, with the different parts of our bodies, my Allah. Oh, my Allah. Ya Allah, ham nadim hai, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have abandoned those sins, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have moved away from the sins, my Allah. Ya Allah, we're making azam, my Allah. We're making a firm pledge and we are determined we will never go back to the sins again, my Allah. Ya Allah, if you don't forgive us now in these beautiful Mubarak nights we have heard from our ulama and scholars, we have read in the Quran, in Hadith, may Allah, Abu Shahr Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran, such a beautiful month. Rasulullah SAW has mentioned that that person, the month of Ramadan comes and goes by and he's still not forgiven by Allah, then he is mahroom, he is shaqi, he is most wretched, he is most unfortunate, he is most unlucky. Oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, don't make us be amongst the unlucky ones, my Allah. Ya Allah, our beloved Rasulullah, when he ascended the mimbar, he said, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was sent by you, my Allah. They tell Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam that Allah has cursed that person who sees his parents in old age and still he is not dutiful and obedient to them. And he is cursed. Rahmatul lil alameen, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who cry for us day and night in sajda, whilst travelling. Allahumma ummati, Allahumma ummati, Allahumma ummati. On that occasion he says, Ameen to the curse. Curse be upon that person when my name is taken, he doesn't send durood upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And curse is that person, the month of Ramadan comes and goes by, falam yughfar lahu, he is not forgiven. He fails to raise his hand and beg Allah for forgiveness. Ya Allah, we are begging you, my Allah. Allah, have pity upon us, my Allah. Ya Allah, perhaps some young masoom child in this crowd, my Allah. Ya Allah, some elderly person, my Allah. Some sincere person. Somebody who is a sinner like myself, my Allah. Ya Allah, but we are turning towards you with a penitent heart, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have read in the kitabs of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu salam's time when there was drought, my Allah. And Sayyidina Musa had assembled his people and they were begging you for rain and you said, oh Musa, there's a certain person amidst them. Because of him, I'm not sending down rain. Then he must move away from this gathering. Sayyidina Musa made an announcement. There's one person amongst us and because of him, he sins. Allah is holding back the rain from us. Move away from this gathering. Ya Allah, we read in the kitabs, nobody move from the gathering. And still you send down torrential rain, my Allah. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was baffled, my Allah. He asked you, Allah, what has happened? Ya Allah, you responded and you told him, oh Musa, that same person who was a sinner who disobeyed me, he cried in his heart now. He said, Ya Allah, don't embarrass me, my Allah. I did wrong, Allah, you forgive me. Ya Allah, you forgive him, my Allah. And because of him, you send down the rain, my Allah. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was anxious to know who that person was so he could meet him. Oh Allah, show me who that person is. Ya Allah, we have read in the kitab that you said, oh Musa, he committed a sin. I concealed his faults. I will never expose him. Ya Allah, you are ghaffar al-dhunub, sattar al-uyub, my Allah. Ya Allah, we can ask you by your beautiful names, my Allah. We beseech you by your beautiful names, your asma'ul husna, your sifat al-ula, your beautiful qualities, my Allah. Oh my Allah, you are the most great. Nobody greater than you are. You are Akbar. You are the creator of the skies and the earth, my Allah. You are the controller of the sun and the moon. You created them, my Allah, and every single star. Ya Allah, every creature, every animal, the jinnah, the angels, the insan, my Allah. The reptiles, the fish in the sea, the birds, my Allah. Ya Allah, the billions and billions of creation, ya Allah. Ya Allah, science is discovering more and more planets, my Allah. But you have created billions of planets, my Allah. Ya Allah, you are Rabbul Alameen, my Allah. You are the possessor of your Arsh, my Allah. You are the possessor of your Kursi, my Allah. Ya Allah, nothing is hidden from you, my Allah. Ya Allah, you have been so kind to us, my Allah. Ya Allah, ham nadim hai, ham sharminda hai. Tonight, my Allah, we have raised our hands, my Allah. Ya Allah, we are knocking at your door, my Allah. Ya Allah, because there's no other door we can knock at. Nobody else can help us, my Allah. Nobody else can guide us, my Allah. Nobody can forgive us, my Allah. Ya Allah, have mercy, my Allah. These brothers have read Taraweeh, my Allah. They sat for the talk patiently, my Allah. The entire day they were fasting, my Allah. Ya Allah, tonight they could have gone somewhere else, these youngsters, my Allah. Ya Allah, these youngsters are sincere, my Allah. Ya Allah, they want to change their lives, my Allah. Ya Allah, they want hidayat from you, my Allah. All of us want hidayat from you, my Allah. Our mothers and sisters and others listening at home, my Allah. Ya Allah, they are sick people at home, my Allah. They are elderly people at home, my Allah. Ya Allah, they have raised their hands, my Allah. Eh Malik, eh Kareem, my Allah. Ya Allah, if Qiyamah was going to take place tomorrow, my Allah. And we're not forgiven still, my Allah. Ya Allah, we doomed then, my Allah. Ya Allah, we'll be thrown into Jahannam, my Allah. Oh, my Allah, Shaitan will become happy because more people will join him in Jahannam. Our Rasulullah will be disappointed, my Allah. Ya Allah, he is your beloved Nabi, my Allah. Khatamul Anbiya, your Mursaleen, my Allah. He is your Habib, my Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Forgive us, my Allah. Every single sin we committed in broad daylight, in public, in privacy, in the darkness of the night, my Allah. Our big sins, small sins, major sins, minor sins, my Allah. At home, in the masjids, my Allah, in colleges, in schools, in varsities, my Allah. Ya Allah, in hotel rooms, my Allah. My Allah, we went abroad, perhaps we thought nobody is watching, but you were watching, my Allah. Ya Allah, we beg you tonight, my Allah, in this masjid, Ya Allah. This is the same masjid that many of your friends have come here, my Allah. Ya Allah, they gave their lives, Ya my Allah. Ya Allah, we are begging you tonight, my Allah. With your Ismi Azam, my Allah, that name of yours which we do not know, but any person who takes that name of yours, you readily answer his dua, my Allah. Forgive all of us, my Allah. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا كلها دقها وجلها أولها وآخرها وعلانيتها وسرها اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك فاغفر لنا وتب علينا فاغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا أنت المقدم أنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت يا الله give us a strong إيمان my Allah يا الله strengthen our إيمان my Allah don't make our إيمان get weak my Allah don't snatch away our إيمان my Allah Don't stick away the iman of our children and progeny, my Allah. Ya Allah, don't take the iman away from our wives, my Allah, and family members, my Allah. Ya Allah, make hifazat of our iman, my Allah. Are you protected the ashabi kahf, my Allah? Ya Allah, strengthen our hearts like that, my Allah. Ya Allah, the fitan have started, my Allah. Ya Allah, different type of challenges, my Allah. They are difficult ones, my Allah. Ya Allah, there are great fitna and trials and tribulations that are awaiting us, my Allah. Ya Allah, we are pareshan, ummat is pareshan, my Allah. Ya Allah, you guide us, you protect us, you help us, my Allah. We are begging you, my Allah, earnestly, sincerely, my Allah. Allah, look into our hearts, my Allah. Give us that ikhlas and sincerity, my Allah. Don't make us do things for show and name and fame, my Allah. Remove the arrogance and pride and deceit we have in our hearts, my Allah. The filth that we have accumulated in our hearts have become rusted and corroded, my Allah. Full of gunas and vice and evil, my Allah. Ya Allah, our hearts have become hard, my Allah. Harder than rocks, my Allah. Ya Allah, Quran we hear, Hadith we hear, Bayans we hear, Taraweeh we hear, Dhikr we hear, but there's no change in our life, my Allah. Ya Allah, we become like hypocrites, my Allah. Ya Allah, take out the nifaq from our hearts, my Allah. Protect us from kufr and shirk and nifaq and bid'ah, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us become true Muslims, my Allah. True believers, my Allah. Muwahideen, my Allah. Make us be your muqarrabeen, my Allah. Give us your closeness, my Allah. Your proximity, my Allah. Your love, my Allah. Your ishq and muhabbat, my Allah. Your hub, my Allah. And grant us your muhabbat, my Allah. Before more comes to us, my Allah. Put us into the list of your friends, my Allah. Ya Allah, include us in the list of Ya Allah, your awliya. Ya Allah, make us become pious and righteous. Make our wives pious, my Allah. Make them become righteous, my Allah. Make our children become pious, my Allah. Give us awlad-i salih, my Allah. Our progeny, my Allah. Our zurriyat, my Allah. Protect them from every type of fitna, my Allah. Especially the fitnas of Dajjal, my Allah. Ya Allah, if we are living, protect us from Dajjal. Our progeny, if they're living, my Allah. Protect them from Dajjal, my Allah. Make them be in the group of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala. Ya Allah, make the iman be qaim, my Allah. Ya Allah, make the iman be firm, my Allah. Ya Allah, make it be easy to practice our deen wherever we go, especially in our country. My Allah, you have been so kind to us, my Allah. Don't take away these bounties from us, my Allah. Let there be aman and aman in our country, my Allah. And through the four corners of the globe, my Allah. Ya Allah, ummat bahut pareshan hai, my Allah. Ya Allah, the deen of the ummat is suffering, my Allah. The iman is suffering, my Allah. The dunya is suffering, my Allah. Ya Allah, there is war taking place in so many countries of the world, my Allah. Ya Allah, how long are we going to be able to endure, my Allah, to see our Muslim brothers and sisters, my Allah, our Muslim children, my Allah, our Muslim elders, my Allah, in Syria, Palestine, my Allah, in Burma, Rohingya, my Allah, in different parts of the world, in African countries, my Allah. Ya Allah, they're being butchered to death, my Allah. They're being slaughtered, my Allah. Ya Allah, those masoom children, my Allah, they stand in the queue, my Allah. Ya Allah, we know about it, my Allah. Ya Allah, our brothers and friends have gone there, my Allah, to send some aid, my Allah, to give them a hamper, my Allah. They walked for miles, my Allah. They stood in the sweltering heat, my Allah. Ya Allah, while we have got air cons in our homes and masjids, my Allah. We've got dastar khans of variety of food, my Allah. We've got plentiful, my Allah. Still we make na shukri, my Allah. Still we are not content, my Allah. We still complain, my Allah. We use your ni'mat, my Allah. We consume your ni'mat, my Allah. But we disobey you, my Allah. Ya Allah, those children, my Allah, they've got no parents. When they ask, who is your father? He says, I've got no father. My father became shaheed. Who is your mother? She became a shaheed. Ya Allah, they stand in the line, my Allah. They put their hand out, ya Allah, with a smile on their face, just to get one sweet, my Allah. One sweet, my Allah. They do not know when again they will get another sweet, my Allah. They've got no clothing, my Allah. They go through difficult conditions, ya Allah. Sometimes it is peak winter, my Allah. Sometimes it is hot summers, my Allah. They walk from far places, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have learned that even in Rohingya, my Allah, Ya Allah, now in Bangladesh, my Allah, those refugees, my Allah, they have made musallas and masajid there, Ya Allah, made of bamboo sticks, my Allah. They even teaching Bukhari Sharif, my Allah, in those places. Ya Allah, we complain of our madaris, my Allah. We want this and that type of things in our madrasas and our masjids, my Allah. Ya Allah, we want luxury and comfort, my Allah. Ya Allah, tu raham farma. Change the conditions, my Allah. Change the conditions, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have made dua always, my Allah. We will continue to make dua to you, my Allah. Your hikmat, your wisdom, we cannot fathom, we cannot understand. Ya Allah, we will never try to understand your wisdom, my Allah. Ya Allah, but we are begging you, my Allah. Ya Allah, have pity upon them, my Allah. Ya Allah, so many sisters have lost their izzat, my Allah. Ya Allah, they have been raped, my Allah, several times, my Allah. Ya Allah, on top of that, they were killed brutally by the enemy, my Allah. Ya Allah, those zalimeen, my Allah. Hidayat, if it's not written for them, if tawbah is not written for them, my Allah. Ya Allah, you destroy them like how you destroyed Aad and Thamud, my Allah. Ya Allah, you change the conditions, my Allah. Help us to aid them, my Allah. Help us to aid them, my Allah. Ya Allah, there are so many people sick in this world, my Allah. Friends and family, so many requested duas, my Allah. Young children have got cancer, my Allah. Ya Allah, young children, ya Allah, they are on dialysis, ya Allah. Ya Allah, people have got heart problems, ya Allah. People have got kidney problems. They've got different problems, my Allah. Rare diseases, my Allah. Ya Allah, shifa is in your hand, my Allah. Ya Allah, we promise them we'll make dua for them, my Allah. All of them who requested duas, especially for shifa, grant them complete shifa, my Allah. All the marhumin, give them jannatul firdaus, my Allah. Ya Allah, today also we can see already two janazas on the board, my Allah. So lucky they pass away in the month of Ramadan, my Allah. Ya Allah, grant them maghfirat, grant the family sabri jameel, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us a good maut, my Allah. Maut with iman, maut in the condition you are pleased with, my Allah. Give us tawfiq and the ability to do such a good deed before we leave this world that you are pleased with, my Allah. And you accept it, my Allah. Then take our ruh, my Allah. Allah, take our ruh in Madinah Sharif, my Allah. Oh, my Allah, grant us baril jannatul baqi, my Allah. Grant us the shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the day of qiyamah. The Kothar water from his Mubarak hand. Ya Allah, we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, we have not seen him in this world, my Allah. Whatever we have read in the Shama'il, in the Hadith Kitab, my Allah, of his noble and beautiful features, my Allah. How handsome he was, my Allah. So full of compassion, my Allah. So full of love, my Allah. So kind, so generous, my Allah. Ya Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, don't deprive us of being in His company, my Allah. Ya Allah, we'll be going towards the Kuth, don't chase us away from there, my Allah. Don't let the angels drive us away, my Allah. Ya Allah, don't make Nabi Islam turn his gaze away from us, my Allah. Make us in the Jannat with him, my Allah, in his company, ya Allah. Let our home be next to his home, dear my Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your ishq and muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make the sunnahs come into our lives, my Allah. Don't make us be people who mock the sunnah, my Allah. Don't make us become amongst those people who find faults in your deen, my Allah. Who criticize the ulama, criticize the mashayikh, criticize your deen, my Allah. Make us understand now, my Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from azab of qabr, azab of jahannam, from every big and small fitna, especially the fitnas of Dajjal. Ya Allah, all these brothers, see Allah, who have raised their hands, whoever is listening to this program, my Allah, grant all of us ikhlas. Ya Allah, especially this banda, my Allah. Ya Allah, grant me ikhlas, my Allah. Grant me ikhlas and maqbooliyat, my Allah. Ya Allah, fulfill all our jais murads, my Allah. Remove our difficulties. Whatever brothers and sisters, whatever dua they have in their heart, my Allah, you are well aware of their problems, my Allah. Allah, I do not know what problems each one has, my Allah. Ya Qadhi al-Hajat, Ya Dafi al-Baliyat, Ya Hal al-Mushkilat. Allahumma kashif al-gham, mufarrij al-hum, mujib da'wat al-muttarrin idha da'uk, rahman al-dunya wal-akhirah, rahimuhuma, farhamna fi hajatina kulliha biqadaiha wa najahiha, rahmatan tughnina biha an rahmati man siwak. Ya Allah, all those requested dua, answered their duas also, hazirin, ghaibin, sabki dua, qabul farma. Ya Allah, give us halal in tayyib rozi, my Allah. Make our sustenance become easy to us, my Allah. Don't make us become beggars, my Allah. Don't make us dependent on makhluk, my Allah. You provide for us from unseen sources, my Allah. Ya Allah, so many have made intention for Hajj, my Allah. Make the Hajj easy for them, my Allah. Grant them Hajj mabrur, maqbool, my Allah. Ya Allah, all those jama'at striving in your path, accept them, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq of going out in your path also, my Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are doing good works of deen, my Allah, whether it's in madaris, organizations, societies, individually, my Allah, grant all of them maqbooliyat, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us be your beloved now, my Allah. Ya Allah, announce to Jibreel that you love us, my Allah. Let Jibreel alayhi salam announce to the angels, Allah loves that banda, you too must love him, my Allah. Ya Allah, make the angels love us, make the people in the world love us, my Allah. Oh my Allah, don't make it such that you despise us, my Allah. Don't make it such that you tell Jibreel, I hate that certain person, you too must hate him. Jibreel alayhi salam announces to the angels, Allah hates that person, you too must hate him. People in the world begin to hate him. Ya Allah, give us a good akhlaq, my Allah. Give us qalbi salim, my Allah. Give us a pure, clean heart, my Allah. Ya Allah, make our youth, our children become the coolest of our eyes. Remove them from the bad habits, my Allah. Ya Allah, protect all of us from zina and riba and ghibat and namima and all bad qualities, my Allah. Especially our youth, protect them from alcohol and drugs, my Allah. Ya Allah, only you can help them, my Allah. Give them that hidayat now, my Allah. Make it a time it was accepted at this moment, my Allah. The parents are parishan, my Allah. Ya Allah, the parents are finished, my Allah. Guide them, help them, my Allah. Allah, accept all our i'tikaf, my Allah, or ibadat, or roza, tarawih, zikr, tilawat, programs, through the, wherever programs have taken place in the world, accept it, my Allah. Allah, create peace and unity amongst all of us, amongst the ulama, amongst the people, parents and children, family members, my Allah. Allah, make us see the end of Ramadan with ease and salamati, my Allah. Bless all of us with afiyat. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna ya maulana. Ya maulana, innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Tonight could be Laylatul Qadr. Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna ya kareem.